Do you think you are a guy that can put a franchise, coaches, owner, team, city, LeBron-like, and carry a team?
That's what I want to do. That's what I tried to do at Oklahoma. I truly believe I did. Yeah, we had talent. I had great support around me. But at the same time, I set the standard and the tone. And that's what I want to do in Cleveland as well, whether that's being the best backup possible or starting. I want to be a guy that improves our team and makes everybody else better.
Well, as you know, opportunities to play quarterback in the National Football League comes in a lot of different ways. I informed the group this morning that we're going to start Baker Mayfield and that Tyrod will be the backup if healthy. Obviously, he's still in the concussion protocol as far as I know. He's shown me at every opportunity that he was working at it to be ready for when his time was called, that he would make the best of it, and he's done that. So he's earned it by the way he's played. And like I've told that group, I've told our football team, we're going to support him, you know, however we can as a team, and we're going to also support Tyrod as well, Andrew. So that's the way we're going to go about it.
Touchdown.
Welcome to the Fantasy Football Goon Podcast. Fantasy Football Goon is a part of the Bears Barroom Radio Network. I'm your host, Joe Mandel, the Goon, and this is your Week 4 Fantasy Preview. Joining me, as always, is my co-host and good buddy, John Santucci, the Tooch. And today we have a very special guest, radio legend and avid fantasy player, Jeff Schwartz. Among many other achievements, Jeff worked as director of operations at 670 The Score in Chicago and was the mastermind behind disco demolition at Comiskey Park in 1979. He also had the first fantasy show to hit the airwaves, Spaceball Fantasy Football. Jeff, thanks for joining us.
Hey, it's a pleasure joining you guys. I love the passion both of you put into this. John, do I call you John or do I call you Tooch?
You can call me Tooch, if you know.
Okay. Okay, that's you welcoming me into your world. I appreciate it. And it's my pleasure to be here, guys. You know, you talk about this is my 27th year of playing fantasy football.
Oh, man.
And I've won twice.
maybe you can get number three this year.
Well, right now I'm a perfect 3-0, but it's a screwy year. If I have played for big money in the past. Now I'm not doing that. I'm doing it more for fun and still to stay on top of stuff. But it's such a different game right now. There's so many different ways to do an advice show, just like you guys do, like I used to do way, way back when. I used to say to the people, what kind of league are you in? Because to give you advice about certain things without knowing what their needs are is a difficult thing.
Oh, yeah. Especially back then, man. I'm sure that was a trip.
Back then, first of all, the drafts, all of us to do it now online, et cetera, et cetera. Back then, there was the beginning of the computers, and we used to do our live drafts at a hotel room. We would just sit in a hotel, we'd get a hotel room. My brother-in-law used to always run it, and he'd bring a chalkboard, he'd bring everything. It was the greatest thing. He'd buy and bring trading cards. And, you know, some of the rookies weren't out yet in the trading cards. And I swear I wouldn't draft anybody if they didn't have a trading card.
Man, it's amazing how times change.
Right. But you know what? Yeah. I'll tell you just like this when you talk about. And I know and I've worked with the young people, and I hate the name millennial or what's now Generation X, or, you know, I'm at the high end of the baby boomer. I hate it because we're all people, but I mean, people don't communicate anymore. My family, my daughter, my grandkids live in Chicago. I never talk to them. I text them.
Right.
And they text me, and that's it. And, you know, I will tell all of your listeners, you guys, and even next year, you know, live and be well, we'll all be around. The bottom line, we're going to have a live draft.
Right.
And I think, A, it would be hysterical. I'll fly into Chicago. There's always a reason for me to fly into Chicago. I'll fly in. We'll do a live draft, and I we'll even record it, Joe and Tooch.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
That would be awesome.
So, I mean, we should do that and show the people what you're missing is if you're home alone, okay, I understand it. But, my God, you go out, it's a night, it's 3 hours of 8, 10, 12 guys sitting around having a ton of fun just drafting and trading right there if you want.
There's nothing like a live draft, and we actually, Tooch, myself, and Aldo, we actually drafted at Soldier Field this year at the Chicago Tribune draft party, and that was something else, so hopefully next year we can get that going.
How many people were in that party, that league?
Well, it was just the three of us, but we were supposed to have a lot more. Next year, Jeff, if you're in the barroom league, we could do that again because you have a good time.
I think it would be great, and maybe even when we're getting close, when you start doing your preseason shows and everything else, you even invite two people who listen. Would you want to be in our room league?
Oh, yeah.
If I don't have them come down, it's always cool. The people who listen to you, they're the reason why you're doing it.
Exactly.
The people that go to Bears Barroom, the people that have listened to Mike North, who is so associated now with Bears Barroom, the people, Mike and I worked together for 20 years, and the people that went to him, it was one thing. There was no difference to Mike than a caller was, as it was a customer when he owned the hot dog stand.
Yep.
They were his customers, and he always treated them with respect.
Yeah, that's why I loved him, too. I mean, I grew up with Mike North, Monsters of the Midday. I mean, I listened every day. Every day, occasional caller myself. So,
even if you didn't like Mike and Jigs, you would still listen for one reason. Just in case friends where you work the next day or at school were talking about it.
Right.
You had to listen. Same reason people who hated Howard Stern still listened to him. So the next day they would be aware of what the hell he just said that people are talking about.
It's the truth. And
yeah. Yep.
And I remember growing up, and I'm younger than Tooch. I'm going to be 30 this year, but my mom worked
at... Baby.
I am a baby. I am.
And I won't give the age, but you're a heck of a lot older than my daughter.
Well, it's amazing how time flies.
A heck of a lot younger. I'm sorry. You know, don't forget I live out here in California. It's legalized. but the bottom line is my daughter is more than 10 years older than you.
Yeah, you know. It's
You know what? That's the way the generations are, and I love that I'm talking to two guys, two different generations that do a fantasy football show. I'm proud. I'm proud that there are still people out there that are doing this because it was a heck of a lot of fun.
It sure is.
It's a lot of fun. It's a labor of love for Joe and I. We love what we do.
Can
I tell you a labor of love on how many times I've been kicked out of leagues? Because I drive people crazy. I drive people crazy. I will send trade offers over and over and over. There's no such thing as consistency with me. It's part of the fun.
It is part of the fun.
Part of the fun is today I have Matt Ryan, but next week I want Drew Brees, so I know I'll have to give you Matt Ryan and a little something else to try to get Drew Brees. So, I mean, I'm just using that as an example. I mean, I'll give a living example. If you want to get into any football talk right now, I'll give you a living example. I had the sixth pick in my draft.
Right.
And it was there, right there. I had to take him. It was David Johnson for the Cardinals.
Right.
And I'm 3-0 without his help. He's had not one, not two, but three terrible games. Now Josh is coming in the quarterback. Maybe they'll be changing. But I'll tell you right now, I have David Johnson out there in trade offers to people. And the one I wanted to do was I put out there David Johnson for Antonio Brown. Because Antonio's not having Antonio's not having the kind of year he normally has.
This is true.
Because of JoJo Schuster.
Yeah, he's looking good. He's looking really good.
Who, by the way, breaking news, just showed up on the injury update list.
Uh-oh.
JoJo did not practice today.
Well, that's one guy we got to keep an eye on. Antonio, obviously, you know, best receiver in football, but the Steelers are having some internal funk going on right now, and that's actually
I got to tell you, right now, and I know at the opening, I think it was Joe who said it, we got to talk to Bell, and I'm going to be a little bit of a hypocrite, because that's okay. When you're sitting on the throne, you can be a hypocrite. I still would never want him on my NFL team. Let's face it, he could maybe take Tampa Bay to an NFC crown. They'd win that division they're in if he went there. But
great point.
He's a cancer. He's a cancer. I'm sorry. We grew up, and Joe will leave you out of the conversation, but Tim and I understand the era of Michael Jordan. Do you know he never went to Jerry Reinsdorf once to try to renegotiate, which ended up being a killer deal for Jerry Reinsdorf? And he said, I signed a contract, and I'm going to adhere to it. And you know what? Le'Veon, you signed a contract how many years ago? He is losing almost. And here's the problem with sports. Not only football, I think it's worse with basketball. The problem with sports is that Le'Veon Bell is so rich right now, he can say F you to almost $1 million a game he's losing, $14 million a year.
That's baffling.
Yeah.
And that is why, you know, and I listen to guys on sports talk radio. If I still was the ops director at the Score, you know, I would still say, and I also was at ESPN for a while in Chicago, and I would say, stop talking about money. We sound ridiculous. If I hear Jimmy Butler said no to $140 million one more time, I'll drive off the road. And roads here, you fall down a mountainside, guys. I mean, it's ridiculous. Le'Veon Bell is $14 million a year, and he's holding out.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's some more teams that emerged today that are interested. Apparently the Packers are trying to put together a package for him. That would be an interesting fit.
I would say the Packers, because the Packers, as long as Rodgers stays healthy, has a chance to go really far. So I could see the Packers doing it. I could see Tampa Bay doing it, because they go. Tampa Bay would have beat the Steelers Monday night if they had a running game.
They would have, and if they had receivers running the right routes.
Okay. But, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, and I still love, and I'm sorry that people say he came back to, he being Ryan Fitzmagic, came back to Earth Monday. You know what? He threw for 411 yards. I'll take three interceptions.
He's the first quarterback in NFL history to throw for 1,200 yards in the first three games.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think I saw it 400. I mean, that's amazing. And they haven't said yet, have they?
They have not, but they'd be foolish to bench him right now.
Yeah, yeah. Especially, you know what? Right now, who could use Jameis Winston? Who just went out for the year in San Francisco?
Yeah, Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, trade him to the 49ers.
Yep.
Guys, I could still beat you head-to-head no matter what. I have one leg in the grave already, and I could still tumble your asses.
That's what I like, man. I love that.
I mean, with Le'Veon Bell, why I said at the beginning, a hypocritical, somebody dropped him and I picked him up.
Hey, I don't blame you one bit. Somebody's going to try to trade for him.
I saw the trade rumors. And also, we are able to have, and once again, it depends on your league. We're able to have four bench players and one IR slot. And an IR slot in our league is only if a guy is listed as out. Obviously, Le'Veon Bell is listed as out. So I picked him up. I sat him there. Until buys, I don't have one buy person this week. Until buys really hinder me, I can get away with carrying Bell. And if he goes to the right time, right team, look out.
Yeah, he's got a lot of teams out there that are interested, high-powered offenses. So I think that's what you got to do with him. If you have him, I think you stash him or you try to trade him.
Yeah, I think he would keep Rodgers healthier.
Agreed. He can pick up the blitz in the backfield, too.
Exactly, and because he is so much involved in the passing game. And his running, the third kind of benefit that he could hand off the ball to 25 times, that's 16, guess what? That's 10 more times that you're not being knocked to the ground.
Exactly. Because we all know how the running game in Green Bay has struggled over the years.
Exactly. And I mean, when you're wasting Rodgers. You're wasting Rodgers if you don't try. Now, the problem that I hear, anybody who trades for him has to pick up his whole salary.
Right.
So it's 14 and change. I didn't see them on the cap list, but I also wasn't looking for them on the cap list. Let alone that, obviously they're very happy with Connor.
Mm-hmm.
Is it Connor?
Yeah, James Connor's been great.
And he's done great. And, so right now, cut your losses. And even if it's for 1 year for Le'Veon, if you can't win with Rodgers and Le'Veon Bell, you know what? You got to start all over again.
Agreed.
And Green Bay is a team. Green Bay is a team like Dallas. They don't like to use the word rebuild.
Right. It's true.
Because they have a totally different type of mindset in those two cities. And especially Green Bay when, how many people are part owners of them?
There's a lot.
Yeah.
As a Bears fan, I'd hate to see Bell go to the Packers.
You played him once already.
That's true. You only play him one more time.
You only play him one more time. And I'm saying you because I'm not in Chicago, but the Bears only play him one more time.
Yeah, or in the playoffs.
Well, in the playoffs, Le'Veon will probably get hurt. usually that always happens. Somebody signs that big deal. They go there. They try to play too early because he's got to be out of shape, guys. Have you heard that he's working out?
No, but I see him on a yacht.
Nope.
Yeah, but somebody even pointed out on the yacht he looked the size of an offensive lineman.
Yeah, he's probably not staying in shape, so that's something to think about too.
Yeah, but if I could carry him to, and if I can get to, halfway point, I'm 3-0 now. If I can get there to be 6-2 or 5-3, I'd be very happy, and then I'd have to make a decision. To just cut him. But, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. And almost as ridiculous as bye weeks.
Yeah, the first bye week start this week. You got the Redskins and the Panthers on a bye. So if you have your Jordan Reeds, if you have your Cam Newtons, look for a replacement this week because it's hard believing that week four is when byes start.
And think about it. Some people have buys in week 13. So what the NFL, in their great wisdom, tried to do is spread it out so you only have like two or four teams on a bye a week. No, you know what? Split the league in half. Instead of 16 games on a Sunday, give me 8 for 2 weeks in a row. Everybody's on a bye. 2 weeks, you're 2 and done, and that's it. Everything else is stupid beyond belief. These are athletes. I can't stand you go into that draft, and let's say you were going to draft Todd Gurley first, which obviously the majority of people probably did, right?
Sure, yeah.
And,
yep.
And why? Nobody says there, Todd Gurley, just in case he gets hurt, I need his backup. I mean, you can't think about just in case he gets hurt.
Mm-hmm.
It's just ridiculous. And if they get hurt, they get hurt. That's the name of the game. How many people drafted David Johnson first last year? He was the cover of every magazine because of the season he had in 2016.
Right.
So yep. David Johnson was drafted first probably 6 out of 10 times. And he was injured in the first quarter and out for the year in the first game.
Yeah, that was a tough one to swallow last year. And right now, that's looking like Le'Veon Bell this year.
Yeah, and now you got people. They think it's easy to go international. Have you guys ever gone to Europe? And they got to go there to play a game, or they got to go to Mexico. You know what? Last time I was at Mexico, I swear I would never go to Mexico again. and it was because, you know what? When you can't turn on the faucet, put your mouth under it for a quick drink.
Right.
No, never again. And that's at the Acapulco resorts and everything else. You know, when you see Federales walking the beach, let me tell you, if I saw Federales walking the beach at North Avenue Beach there in Chicago, I wouldn't go to North Avenue Beach.
Same here.
So, I apologize to Mexico. You're the only ones that I know that actually have that. But, I wouldn't do it anywhere. So whatever the case may be. And I'm probably screwing up your guys' podcast tonight.
Oh,
and
no. I apologize. We love it. We love having you on.
I apologize because I know some of the listeners are saying get the old fart off. And, we want to know. But I'll tell you right now. The bottom line here, look out for the Chargers. The defense is playing great. Joey Bosa's coming back, and I'm going to leave the two of you and all your listeners with this. Mike Williams, first round 2 years ago, and from UCLA, look out. Bye-bye, Keenan. Never liked him anyways. And Phillip Rivers could be still a great quarterback. And look out, Chargers. See, I'm anti-Rams already, boys. Anti-Rams already.
That's a great call with Mike Williams. He's got 15 targets through 3 games with 3 touchdowns. He's really emerging, so it's definitely a guy to pick up.
You know what's happening there? By the way, he's the red zone receiver, and it's because they don't have a tight end really anymore. You know, Antonio Gates is out there for probably as a retirement tour or whatever the case may be. And the guy who, Hunter Henry.
Yeah, he's out.
He's out. He was out for the year, and he was a top 5 tight end in the league. And so that's why Williams is even increasing his popularity and his receptions and his touchdowns, and that's my pick. And guys, anytime you want to invite me back on, it would be my pleasure. I'll let you go to your regular form, and then you can make fun of me. But I'm here whenever you guys need it, whatever you guys want to do. And, just the people who are listening, love fantasy. It's one of the few things that Trump hasn't affected yet. I might like Donald Trump. You never know. But, the bottom line is next year we'll probably be in the Trump Fantasy Football League. And that's what we'll do for protection. And that'll be it. And, Joe, great meeting you. Dude,
yeah, absolutely.
Great meeting you.
Thanks.
Great name also.
Back on, Jeff.
We would love whatever you guys do. Do you record only before you guys come back with a recap? After Monday Night Football.
We usually record before. We record before, and then we do a pregame show on Sundays.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, have fun. I'm here whenever you want me, Joe. You got my number. You can give it to. You got my email. Whenever you want me, be my pleasure, and we can have some fun.
Oh, absolutely, Jeff. Thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute blast, and we look forward to having you on again.
Let me do one thing. Cubs, can you wake up? You're only a half game above the Milwaukee Brewers. Come on, guys. All right, I'm out. I'm done. Now I get to go to an early bird special dinner, and I'll talk to you guys soon.
All right, Jeff, thank you so much. Jeff. Thanks for coming on.
Guys. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Thanks again to Jeff Schwartz for joining us. That was absolutely amazing. Tooch, I know both of us had a blast having him on the show.
Oh, yeah, it was great.
So now that we got to talk to Jeff a little bit, let's kind of get into this week's games. Tomorrow night, big one down in L.A., the Vikings going to visit the Rams. Rams are currently sitting as 6.5-point favorites, but today they put Aqib Talib on IR, and Marcus Peters looks like he's going to be out. So does that change your pick here, John? I'm still taking the Rams.
Yeah, it doesn't change my pick either. And one guy on the Vikings that the Vikings will miss is Everson Griffin, who's had a nervous breakdown, I think, Joe. I don't know if you read that story.
I did. It's an interesting one. So he's not going to be out there, and he's getting evaluated in a hospital as we speak.
Right, and, you know, he's their best pass rusher. One of the best pass rushers in the league. So, you know, this game's in L.A. And, you know, last week I really thought the Chargers and Rams would play a closer game. They didn't. You know, the Rams hadn't really played any tough teams before that. And, you know, Minnesota was looking like, you know, Chargers and Minnesota looking at their first big test. But you can see Minnesota is a little bit out of sorts after the clobbering they took from Buffalo.
Yeah, they took a clobbering, all right. That's probably one of the biggest upsets I can remember in a long time. So they're probably spinning. But with those, we have to mention, though, with those corners out, you have to like Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen here.
Yeah, and of course, Adam Thielen has been quietly amazing.
Always is.
He's got nearly 40 targets, I think, through... Or 44 targets, I think, through three games. That's almost 15 targets a game.
That's unbelievable.
Either a touchdown or 100 yards in each game. It's just, he's been really good. And Stephon Diggs, of course, is good. You know, of course, Dalvin Cook may not play, Joe. He's got to take capable backup in Latavius Murray. But, yeah, the Rams' defense has two good backup corners. They go, you know, four deep. So, losing Aqib Talib and Marcus Peters, you know, they have Sam Shields and Bradley Roby as backups, and those guys could be starters on other teams.
For sure, and they're in good shape. So I still think you can roll with those Vikings receivers, but, you know, I still like the Rams in this game. I have no problem rolling with Todd Gurley. I know the Vikings are good against the run, but like you said, they don't have Griffin. And, you know, Todd Gurley's Todd Gurley. He's going to be involved no matter how you look at it. And I think a guy we got to talk about here is Robert Woods. He's been unbelievable. 30 targets through 3 weeks. He's just been a machine out there. And Robert Woods is clearly starting to become the number one guy out there in L.A.
Yeah, they really have good weapons. I mean, Los Angeles, I expect to be, you know, if not in the Super Bowl, in the NFC Championship game, they certainly have the weapons. So, Rams are going to be favored all year long. I can't see a situation yet right now where they wouldn't be favored, Joe.
Agreed. And I still think you can roll with Jared Goff if you don't have any other better options. I mean, he's looked really good through three games. And he's, you know, this is a tough matchup, but I still think you can roll with him if you need to. But at the same time, you know, all these Rams receivers, I'm fine with them. I think Robert Woods, Brandon Cooks, Cooper Kupp. I mean, these are all guys that you have to consider starting.
For sure. And I remember back at the Barfly tailgate, the question was, you know, Deshaun Watson or Jared Goff. And I was kind of like, you know, we both went with Deshaun Watson, but one of my picks was Jared Goff. And Jared Goff outscored Deshaun Watson that week. I kind of, you know, people are like, Jared Goff. Last week I got a little, you know, but that was the right pick. He's a quarterback one, Joe.
Yeah, he's proven it every week, and it's amazing. But I know you and I both like the Rams in this game, the 6.5-point favorites. So rolling with the Rams. Let's move into the next game here. So next game we got on our list here, the Bengals going down to visit the Falcons in Atlanta. Atlanta currently sitting as 5-point favorites in this game, John, and I'm taking the Falcons in this one.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Falcons, too, at home. Cincinnati, though, has a good defense. I'm going to think hard if Cincinnati is capable of keeping this within 5 points. I think they are. So right now I'm leaning Atlanta. You know, they're
I think they've got their offense starting to click. Matt Ryan, 5 touchdown passes last week. So it's, you know, Cincinnati's having a good season, sitting atop the AFC North, Joe.
They are, and I think Andy Dalton's a sneaky start this week. That Falcons defense has not been very good. They're banged up right now. So my start of the week is actually Giovanni Bernard. I think he's going to be heavily involved. Joe Mixon sitting out. And, you know, I think that Falcons defense has got plenty of room in the middle for them to take over. So I like a lot of Bengals players here. Tyler Boyd's really started to emerge as a number 2 wide receiver. He's been absolutely incredible through 3 weeks alongside A.J. Green. And like I said, Andy Dalton is looking like a viable bye week replacement. And, you know, he's playing some weeks like he's a legit number 1. So I don't have any problem if you throw Andy Dalton as a starter this week.
Yeah, neither do I. Let's talk about that Falcons defense a little bit. They're banged up. They are really banged up, Joe. They're missing Keanu Neal, who's out for the season. Deion Jones is injured, and Robert Alford also injured. Robert Alford, pretty good cornerback. Deion Jones, really excellent linebacker for the Falcons. So there's going to be plenty of opportunity for Cincinnati offense. So this I think, will be a high-scoring game.
I agree.
You know, Cincinnati's got a good pass rush. So when all said and done, I may be taking Cincinnati to keep it within 5. Like I said, I don't know yet. I need to, you know, make a decision before.
You're rolling with your fantasy guys on the Falcons. Obviously, it looks like Devontae Freeman likely not going to play here. Still up in the air, but if that's the case, you're going to roll with Tevin Coleman. Calvin Ridley's really starting to emerge. He had 3 touchdowns last week and over 100 yards receiving. So Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley, the Alabama duo, that's going to be a name you're going to be seeing all year long, man. I think that kid's got something special.
Yeah, I do too. I really liked him coming out. Opposite Julio, you know, they've really, that's part of the reason why they've opened that offense up, Joe. Now, Tevin Coleman, you know, he's been really good. I don't know if you know, he's had like 100 yards or a touchdown in each game he's played this season. So they're not missing Devontae Freeman that much. Yeah, he has over 100 yards or a touchdown in each of the season's first 3 weeks. With Devontae Freeman's knee injury keeping him out last week and possibly this week, Tevin Coleman is a running back 1.
Absolutely. No doubt about it. And, you know, in this game, we both like the Falcons for the time being, but, you know, we'll see how things change towards game time. It's going to be a fun one to watch. At the start of the year, I didn't think it would be, but I really think this is going to be a great game. So looking forward to this one on Sunday. But us Bear fans, I think, are looking more forward to the next game on our list, John. The Buccaneers coming down to visit the Bears here in Chicago. Whether it's going to be Fitzmagic or Jameis Winston, either way, I think it's going to be a fun one to watch, defense versus offense. And Buccaneers are currently getting 3 points against the Bears at home. I know I'm probably going to get some flack from this in the bar room, but I'm taking the Bucs +3 in this one.
Yeah, this is a tough game to call, Joe, for me. I'm a little bit undecided right now. Right now, I'm going to lean towards the Buccaneers, just because their offense is capable of keeping this one close. I don't know who's going to win this game right now, and I need to, you know, go back and look at it a little closer. But what's the spread right now, Joe?
The Bears are 3-point favorites.
Okay, so basically just home field advantage.
Exactly.
So the Bears have been good against the run. Tampa Bay has no running game, so Tampa Bay is going to be throwing, you know, all day long. You
know? Oh yeah.
So, look for Fitzpatrick to have. You know, Fitzpatrick may throw 50 times in this game, so we'll see. And a lot of barroom people are going to be at the game, so I was going to the game or had tickets. That's going to be a really good game, and I'm hoping that the Bears run the ball this time, you know, because Tampa Bay, you know, not that great against the run. You know, I think they're 22nd overall against the run. So you can run on Tampa Bay. So I'm hoping that eventually, you know, the Bears realize that they can run the ball with Jordan Howard.
So. Yeah, fingers crossed. So yeah. Obviously you're starting Jordan Howard. You're starting your Allen Robinson, who's getting he's getting targeted a massive amount every single week. So it's only a matter of time before he breaks through and has a huge game. I mean, he had last week, I think, 9 or 10 catches. So things are really starting to pick up for him. And I mentioned it in my article this week. I think Trey Burton finally has that breakout big game this week. The Bucs are notorious for leaving the middle of the field open. And we all know Trey Burton likes to hang out there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a great start this week. I'm hoping, you know, the Bears passing game starts to click, Joe, and that's really what we're looking for when we talk about Trey Burton. He started to get a good connection last week. So hopefully they build on last week and you see a little bit more. Of course, Allen Robinson has at least 7 targets in each game. So look for him against the Tampa Bay secondary to, you know, fill in. Anthony Miller is banged up. So I think you may see Allen Robinson get maybe even more than 7 targets.
I would agree with that. And on the Bucs side of the ball, you're obviously starting Mike Evans. I had him on my bench list this week. I have DeSean Jackson. He was completely shut down last week by the Steelers. So imagine what the Bears are going to do to him. So I think if you're starting receivers or tight ends for the Bucs, you're going to go with Mike Evans and then O.J. Howard, who has been unbelievable in the beginning of the season here. So Fitzpatrick loves him, and I think that's a good start this week too.
Yeah, I really want to pick him up too. I put together a trade package for him in a couple leagues, but you know, I think by this point it's probably too late.
Yeah, I would agree. He's really starting to emerge, and he's kind of one of those surprise guys because they paid Cameron Brait, but it looks like they're putting him into more of a blocking role. Although he did vulture a touchdown against the Steelers, but that's beside the point. You know, O.J. Howard is the guy to own. He's a big, powerful guy, and he could be, you know, a good replacement for a guy like George Kittle, who, you know, he's got a new quarterback, and we don't know how they're going to use him. So George Kittle falls down the list for me without Jimmy G. So just kind of wait and see how they use him this week.
Yeah, and it was just a matter of time before he broke out too, Joe, the first round pick. Yeah, so yeah, that's going to be an exciting game. Can't wait to watch Bears Buccaneers. I think it'll be close.
Did you make your pick, John, or are you going to hold off?
I got to think about it a little bit more because it seems to me like a game where the Bears might pull it out at the last minute and get a last minute field goal to win it, where it'd be a push. So You may be right with either pick.
Right.
You know, other than that, if Tampa Bay gets out to a fast start. Well, Tampa Bay opposing quarterbacks averaging 375 yards a game against Tampa Bay. So, of course, they faced a couple, you know, teams threw all over them. But I don't think Mitch is ready yet to throw for, you know, 375 yards. But at least, you know, he's got the opportunity to throw in this game. So, hopefully... you know, Mitch takes a step, and the Bears get that victory.
Agreed. And one of the Bears' other division mates, the Lions, have to travel down to Dallas to play the Cowboys. Cowboys are currently 3-point favorites in this game, John, but I'm going to take the Lions. I haven't really liked what I've seen out of the Cowboys so far this year.
Yeah, their lone bright spot has been Ezekiel Elliott, who's, you know, been a steady scoring force. And then, you know, of course, the Lions shocking everybody with a victory against the Patriots.
Right.
But, yeah, it wasn't that was unexpected, you know.
Definitely.
But, yeah, Ezekiel Elliott has had either a touchdown or 100 yards in every game this season. So the Lions, though, they're tough. Well, they held the Patriots to under 90 yards rushing, but before that they were averaging about 150 yards rushing a game. So we'll see. It depends on which Lions defense we get. The Cowboys are at home. What's the spread again, Joe?
Cowboys are 3-point favorites at home, so it's basically home field.
basically, yeah. So not a lot of faith in the Cowboys. So, I think I'm leaning Lions right now, but the Cowboys can be tough at home. We'll see. This is another game. It's a tough week, Joe, actually, you know, to pick games this week. So I mean, I think we're going to have to listen to Uncle Mike on Friday.
Yeah, I think so. This is a tough game, but, I mean, Ezekiel Elliott's the only Cowboy that I would even remotely start here. I wouldn't touch anybody else. You're starting Zeke, and all the other Cowboys can ride the bench. But the Lions, on the other hand, are starting to be a fantasy team. Kerryon Johnson went over 100 yards, is the first Detroit runner to do that in quite a long time. I think it was Thanksgiving of 2 or 3 years ago. It's been, I think Reggie Bush was the last person to do it for the Lions. So Kerryon Johnson's a good play here. And Kenny Golladay really starting to emerge, John. He's a PPR machine. He's getting targeted a lot, and he's finally showing off that speed. So I really like what I'm seeing out of Kenny Golladay.
Yeah, the Lions, of course, go three deep at wide receiver. Dallas, a little tough against the pass, though, averaging 210 yards per game. Opposing quarterbacks averaging 210 yards passing per game. So, this is, playing towards the strength, defensive strength against offensive strength. So, it's an interesting game, this one. I tell you, these teams are pretty evenly matched, Joe.
Yeah, it'll definitely be a fun one to watch. Obviously, Matthew Stafford, you're firing up. Golden Tate, Marvin Jones. But on the Cowboys side of the ball, just roll with Zeke, and I think you'll be fine. But definitely going to be a fun one to watch on Sunday. The next team here is the upset special from last week. The Buffalo Bills traveling down to Green Bay to play the Packers. Green Bay sitting, John, is 10.5-point favorites here. The Bills looked like a whole new team last week. 10.5 points is a lot. I'm taking the Bills. I know that's a bit of a surprise, but I'm taking the Bills here.
Yeah, we talked about how 17 points at the Vikings was a lot of lumber, and didn't act on it. Went with the Vikings. That was a mistake. This game is hard to call, though. Shady McCoy still out.
He's banged up. He's got the rib cartilage injury, but
right.
He was interviewed today and said that he's going to play. So, could be a diversion tactic, but I would be surprised if he didn't play on Sunday.
Yeah, and of course the Packers losing to the Redskins last week, who jumped out to a big lead. Big lead in that game. I don't know if you watched that game, but 10 points. Is it 10 or 10 and a half?
It's 10 and a half.
10 and a half. So I'm probably leaning Bills right now. Haven't made my picks yet, but like we said, we don't want to be fooled twice, do we, Joe?
No, we don't want to be fooled twice, and we definitely got fooled last week. I think the Bills fooled everybody. But fantasy relevancy-wise, I think I'm the only guy in the Bills you can really think about starting here is Shady McCoy, as long as he plays. And if not, then you're going to roll with Chris Ivory. And, Charles Clay finally starting to show signs of life. I wouldn't start him yet. Just keep an eye on him. But those are the only guys I'm thinking about. Kelvin Benjamin has been terrible. He's dropping balls left and right. I'm not quite sure what happened to the kid, but he's had to fall from grace.
Yeah, I'm not sure either, Joe. I would stay away, though, from my opinion.
Agreed. And obviously you have a bunch of Packers you're probably going to roll with. You're starting Aaron Rodgers. You know he's going to play. He's not practicing all week, but he's still going to play anyway. I would say that Geronimo Allison's probably worth a sit. I wouldn't start him this week. He's been boom or bust, and these are generally the kind of games where Rodgers goes to his like trusted targets, and by that I'm talking about Devontae Adams and Randall Cobb. I think Geronimo Allison kind of has a in the background kind of game because the Bills secondary just isn't that good.
Yeah, and Bills tough against the run. Not as good against the pass, so Green Bay is strong on the pass and not good against the run. So, this is a good game to fire up Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, definitely for sure. One of the top starts this week. I'm pretty sure I listed him as my number one quarterback this week. So, obviously, these Packers offense is one to be reckoned with. They put up points last week, even though they lost. I expect them to win the game, but I'm taking the Bills with the 10.5 points.
Yeah, me too. I will. For right now, I'm taking the Bills.
Yeah, so in the next game here, the Eagles got to travel down to Tennessee to play the Titans. Carson Wentz, of course, returned last week and had a good game against the Colts. His knee looked nice and healthy. Eagles here are currently 4-point favorites on the road. I'm going to take the Eagles in the 4 points.
Yeah, this is a lot of tough games this week. I predict a lot of disasters for people's picks this week, but Titans quietly have a really good defense, Joe. They're surprisingly pretty good against the pass, great against the run. They're pressuring the quarterback too. So defense on Tennessee underrated, but right now they're 4-point dogs at home.
Right.
Oh boy, they really played Jacksonville tough. So
they did. That was a great defensive game.
Yeah, and I said last week that would be a low-scoring game, only 15 total points. So was on spot on with that. But right now I'm kind of leaning Tennessee, to shock Philadelphia. But Philadelphia's the Super Bowl champs, and they aren't Super Bowl champs without being able to beat teams on the road. So it's going to be another close game, I think. So I may take maybe Philadelphia wins it, but I think I'm going to lean towards Tennessee plus the 4 at home.
That's fair, and it looks like Alshon Jeffrey's due to return this week. He's been practicing in full, so I would be shocked if he didn't suit up on Sunday. So look for his debut alongside Nelson Aguilar, getting that receiver core healthy again. Jay Ajayi is still questionable for this week. He's been dealing with a boatload of injuries. The guy can't seem to stay healthy. I'm not sure if he's going to play or not, but Corey Clement is definitely worth a start here.
Right, and Philadelphia not the greatest against the passing game, so Corey Davis has a pretty good matchup. Maybe this is the week we see first-round pick break out. I know Tennessee has issues at quarterback, so that's probably that's what's holding back the passing game in Tennessee. But
that's a bit of an understatement too, because Blaine Gabbert's in concussion protocol, and they threw in Marcus Mariota, who's dealing with an elbow injury to play in the game. So they're in a tough place right now.
Right. And who is starting, Joe? Do we know yet?
If Gabbert clears concussion protocol, he'll probably start, because Mariota has numbness in his fingers on his throwing hand. So
yeah, not good.
That's not good. But if he has to, I think they'll probably start Mariota if Gabbert doesn't clear concussion protocol.
And if Mariota and Gabbert can't go,
I don't even know who the third person is over there. I think I don't know.
Neither do I. Yeah, then in that case, I would take Philadelphia. that's certainly a big factor, a quarterback situation in Tennessee. Of course, they were able to tough it out against Jacksonville. So, yeah, this is well, like I said, these are tough games to call this week. Every game has been a tough call. So
maybe maybe Mike Vrabel will go out there and throw some passes. But yeah, I like the Eagles. You're taking the Titans. It's going to be a close one.
Yeah.
A nice defensive battle again. And our next game here is a really close one, according to the spread. The Texans going down to Indianapolis to visit the Colts. Colts are sitting as a 1-point favorite here, John. So I'm going to take the Texans plus 1.
Yeah, Colts have been surprisingly good on defense. Better than expected. So I think I'm leaning towards Indianapolis in this game. But another tough game to pick. I mean, Houston's defense has not been that good, Joe.
No, and I really thought they were going to be awesome this year. They have not, and it's been a big disappointment for me. And Deshaun Watson has been a big disappointment as well.
Yeah. Again, Indianapolis has been surprising, Joe. I just, they're a hard team for this. Indianapolis is a team this year that I'll probably will pick wrong every week. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah.
You know, if I say Indianapolis, Houston's probably going to win, Joe.
That's true, but I took the Texans. You're probably going to take the Colts, and maybe I'll win. Maybe I'll win a game for once.
Colts are like the best team against the wide receiver, and that's you know, a big strong point of Houston is the wide receiver. They have two good starting wide receivers. So
yeah, but you're still starting DeAndre Hopkins. You have to.
Yeah.
You're still rolling with Will Fuller if you have him. I really think Lamar Miller is a good play here. The Colts are much better against the pass than they are against the run. So I'm taking Lamar Miller here. I think he's probably a good play, especially in like daily fantasy leagues. So I know you don't like him, but I still think he's a good play.
Well, yeah, they've given up, you know, at least 10 points a week from running back. So they're six worst against the running back. So it's a good matchup for Miller. Yeah, this is going to be a tough divisional game. You know, they know each other. They play each other tough. Right now, I'm going to stick with Indianapolis at home. I don't know what's going to happen, but it's like a 1-point spread. It's going to be a really close game. So,
hey man, I hope you're right. I'm Andrew Luck. I've had him on one of my leagues, and you know, he's not pulling through for me. I really hope he can turn things around. But for our sake, I hope the Colts can pull it off. But I haven't liked, you know, what I've seen out of Andrew Luck. Maybe he can finally, you know, get things going. But man, he's been a disappointment this year.
Right, and Marlon Mack supposed to play, I think.
Yeah, he's been,
again, Indianapolis running game. There's a, you know, three-headed monster like last year.
Yeah, it's a real tough to depend on anybody. Jordan Wilkins has looked the best out of anyone. And, you know, Mack is approaching drop territory for me. So you got to see what he does this week as long as he plays. But I'm getting worried about Marlon Mack.
Well, what do you think about their third down back, this guy Nyheim Hines?
He's been involved. The kid looks like he's got a lot of talent. Right now, Wilkins has been the fantasy back to own, and that's not really saying much. But, you know, it depends what Mack does when he comes back. But
they've actually, Hines and Wilkins aren't too far off from scoring. You know, they're almost have scored almost the same amount of fantasy points. It's just Hines is kind of like the James White of Indianapolis. You know. So they've carved out that role where Hines, you know, is the passing back, and Wilkins has been serving as the primary back, and then Mack is supposed to come in and be the, you know, the best of all three, but he can't stay healthy.
Yeah, it's a tough backfield to figure out, and to be honest with you, John, I think I'd rather avoid it at this point.
Yeah, unless you're desperate. Now, the Jack Doyle's supposed to be back this week, I think.
It's looking that way, but again, he's still questionable in this game, so keep an eye on that. Either way, Ebron and Doyle are worth a start if they play here.
Right.
But you're taking the Colts, I'm taking the Texans. Going to be a fun one. And the next one on our list here, the Dolphins sitting at 3-0, going down to play the Patriots. Patriots are 7.5-point favorites at home. It is worth noting, John, Tom Brady hasn't lost three straight games since 2002.
Right. I don't expect that to be the case here. I'm going to take the Patriots to bounce back. If they do lose three in a row, you know, people are going to, you know what the talk's going to be, Joe.
It's going to be like what it always is when they have a slow start.
Yeah, or it's going to be like three in a row, Brady, this is the down, you know, this is it, this is the year, his last season, you know, the team is too old now, and you're going to hear it all, Gronkowski too slow, Brady too old, but, you know, when mid-season comes around, the second half, late season, that's when the Patriots shine, so I wouldn't be surprised if they drop this game, but I'm going to stick with the Patriots in that trend of Tom Brady not losing three in a row.
Yeah, I'm with you here. And Josh Gordon hopefully making his debut here as a Patriot. Hopefully he's got a good enough grasp on a few plays in the playbook. I think that's going to give them a shot in the arm. And this is also the last week that they don't have Julian Edelman, so he'll be returning after this game, so that's a big deal for them. The Dolphins have been very good, I will give them that, but I think Tom Brady and Bill Belichick find a way to get this thing done. You're rolling with Tom Brady. There is some big news from the Patriots today. They did place Rex Burkhead on IR, so he is out for the rest of the season. Sony Michel going to be the lead dog there, along with James White.
Yeah, we talked about this on Barfly Tailgate, about how Sony Michel, you and I both agreed he would be taking over later in the season. It looks like it'll be sooner rather than later, but, you know, James White should still have a role on that team, Joe. He's been in that role for a long time, and he's delivered. So, but, yeah, Sony Michel should carve out a bigger spot for himself starting this week.
Running backs dropping like flies in New England, John. Jeremy Hill's gone. Rex Burkhead's gone. And boom, you're talking Michelle and James White for the time being.
Yeah, we'll probably see some other guy, too, like Brandon Bolden or something. Just, you know, so Belichick can mess with the fantasy football players, Joe.
You know it. And he'll find a way to do it. But Sony Michel, definitely the guy to own right now. And on the Dolphins side of the ball, Ryan Tannehill has looked great. But Kenyon Drake has seemed to have disappeared, John. What is going on with Kenyon Drake?
I think it's just a matter of time before he, you know, turns out he's just too talented. Patriots, this would be a good game for Kenyon Drake to, you know, take a step forward. I think this should be a fairly high-scoring game.
I think so too.
Miami certainly has been stingy on defense, but New England is going to be looking for for a lot of big offense on the road. So I think you can still play Kenyon Drake as a running back too. I wouldn't be sad if I had him as my running back too, and I'd probably line him up out there this week.
For sure, and I think Kenny Still is also a great play against the Patriots. Devontae Parker looks like he's back, so he could be an interesting play here, but I like Kenny Stills better this week. I don't know what's going on with Danny Amendola. He seems to have fallen off the face of the earth, but for the time being, I'm going to wait and see what's going on with him.
Well, they've really spread the ball around. Tannehill hit 7 different receivers last week, 3 touchdown passes. So this is the week Devontae Parker, should. It's in his best interest to make a big statement here and prove that he's worth the first round pick. So long, Joe. I think 3-4 seasons we've been hearing Devontae Parker is going to be awesome. Injuries, and he just hasn't delivered. But again, I'm hearing the talk. This is the week Devontae Parker breaks out. So. If you're going to start him, maybe flex him in there this week, Joe.
If there's ever a time to do it, it's against the Patriots. They couldn't stop anything last week, so. But I still think the Patriots pull it out. Going to be a fun one to watch. Who would think that the Dolphins are undefeated going into week 4 of the season?
Yeah, I certainly didn't expect it. You thought this division would be really weak. It's been better than advertised.
It has. And another team in this division that's better than expected is the Jets. They're going down to play the Jaguars in Jacksonville. Jaguars currently 9-point favorites in this game, John. I'm going to take the Jets +9. That defense has been much better than expected. And the only problem there is Sam Darnold could get a little reckless sometimes.
Yeah, and that Jacksonville defense certainly isn't kind to rookies. Jets defense has been better than advertised, and Jacksonville's offense has struggled lately. Leonard Fournette coming back, Joe?
It looks like it. He practiced limited today, so it's trending towards playing this week, but again, definitely a situation to monitor.
Right, and T.J. Yeldon and Corey Grant split time while he was out last week and, mm-hmm. Did okay against that tough Tennessee defense. But Jacksonville sure could use Leonard Fournette back, Joe.
Yeah, they could, and all fantasy owners could use him back too. So, come on, Leonard, come on, come back. It's a big game. They need you. But I'm taking the Jets plus 9. Are you going to take the Jags then?
You know, I'm probably leaning Jets right now. My nine is a lot of points, you know, for any teams in the NFL. But I wouldn't be surprised to see Jacksonville have a bounce back week and take it out on the Jets. So right now I'm leaning Jets, but that could change. You know, I'll have to examine it a little bit more closely as I get close to Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, on the Jaguars side of the ball, you're going to roll with Keelan Cole has looked great, and you're going to roll with Blake Bortles probably. And if you need a quarterback, Blake Bortles is – last week he wasn't so good, but I think they might be able to air it out against the Jets if they get some time in the pocket.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, Jacksonville has weapons. You know, they just, for whatever reason, they haven't been able to get rolling. But I think missing Leonard Fournette has been a big part of that. And, of course, you know, Tennessee, you know, played a great defensive game against them. So
they sure did. And the Jets side of the ball, Quincy Enunwa has been really good when he's on the field. Sam Darnold is, like, attracted to him like a magnet. So Enunwa and then Robbie Anderson are probably the two guys you're looking at here. Besides that, I would leave the Jets alone.
All right, Bilal Powell's been pretty good, but Jacksonville tough against the run, too. So,
for sure.
I would stay away from most of my Jets guys. I don't have any, but if I did, I would probably stay away. You know? I don't like anybody except a new one.
Agreed. So we're both taking the Jets plus 9, but the Jags to win the game. Next matchup here is a very interesting one. The Cleveland Browns announced this week that Baker Mayfield is going to be their starter at quarterback, and the Browns go down to play the Raiders in the Black Hole in Oakland. Raiders are 2.5-point favorites at home. I'm taking the Browns plus 2.5. This Raiders defense has been awful, and I think Baker Mayfield has got enough weapons around him and enough poise in the pocket to make them pay.
Yeah, I think so too. They really got a big lift out of him last week. Baker Mayfield, you know, could have some an impact like Patrick Mahomes has, maybe on a smaller scale. So definitely the right choice is starting him and getting him going. He seems to be a really natural leader. He sees the field well. He's very accurate. Has good escape ability. So I'm going to take the Browns too. I love their defense too. Their defense is starting to really come alive. I didn't think Oakland would be very good before the season. I don't think they're going to be very good the rest of the season. But they're certainly not as bad as I thought they would be. And they certainly could win this game, Joe. But like you, I'm going to take the Browns.
Yeah, absolutely, man. The Browns defense has been really, really good. They're only giving up 229 yards passing per game. So I really think they're going to stack the box here against Marshawn Lynch. And I expect this Browns defense to have a field day here. I think they're a great play in fantasy. So if you have these guys, the Browns defense, which a lot of people probably don't, I think they're worth a great pickup. They're an up-and-coming defense. Myles Garrett has looked awesome. I'm taking the Browns here. I think Baker Mayfield's also a great play here. A lot of leagues, he's getting picked up this week, and I don't blame you. He has the potential to finish the year as a top 10 quarterback if he can get things going there. And what better team to do it against than the Raiders? Obviously, Jarvis Landry you're rolling with. Antonio Callaway is also a great start here. And the up-and-comer, John, your favorite tight end from the draft last year, David Njoku.
Yeah, Browns, you know, like I said, they've got weapons. Carlos Hyde certainly started to come alive. Derek Carr's been, you know, kind of jittery in the pocket. You know, this is his first year in John Gruden's system. I don't think he's that familiar as he'd like to be with the offense. So, this is a good week for a Cleveland defense as well.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. And the Raiders side of the ball, and I probably wouldn't recommend starting Derek Carr, but if you're desperate, you can. But I think Amari Cooper is probably the only guy you're going to roll with here. Yeah, I know Jordy Nelson had a great week last week, but you know, if you must start him, do it. But I think Amari Cooper is the guy to play here, and Jared Cook has also been pretty involved in that passing game.
Yeah, I like Cook. You know, Denzel Ward on the Browns has been shutting down guys pretty well, so he likely will be matched up against Amari Cooper. But we'll see. This might not be that high scoring of a game, Joe, unless Baker Mayfield. You know, it's up to Baker Mayfield to, you know, turn it on. Really, it's going to be up to him. You're starting Carlos Hyde, man, against that weak Raiders run defense. The Raiders pass defense has been okay. It's the run defense they've struggled with.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, this is a game. Are you taking the Browns too, John?
I'm going to take the Browns right now, just because the Oakland's offense, you know, just has not been good. I think Cleveland has a chance to really put a lot of pressure on the offense with their pass rush.
Dilly dilly, we both take the Browns. And moving into our next matchup here, it's another battle of the birds. Seahawks going down to play the Cardinals in Arizona. Seahawks are 3-point favorites on the road. Cardinals had a tough loss, comeback win by the Bears last week to beat them. Now the Seahawks come to town showing some signs of life. Chris Carson, probably a good play here against the Cardinals, John.
Yeah, you know, the Cardinals got a lift from getting back some defensive players last week against the Bears, and their secondary looked pretty good. You know, I mean, that Trey Boston was everywhere. Don't know if you watched the game, but
yeah, I did.
You know, that dude was in on. He was like everywhere around the ball. But Arizona quarterback situation is not good. I mean, Sam Bradford, I think I would keep rolling with him. I don't think Josh Rosen is ready. If they do roll with Rosen, I like the Seahawks. If they're going to put Sam Bradford out there, I think the Cardinals have a little bit better chance. And I may take the Cardinals with the points. Yeah, Cardinals can still hurt you, but Seattle still missing Doug Baldwin, Joe?
Yeah, he's dealing with a knee injury. It doesn't look like he's going to play. And it looks like the Cardinals have announced Josh Rosen is going to be the starter. So that makes things real interesting down there in Arizona.
Yeah, I'll take the Seahawks then and lay the points. I think Russell Wilson makes 3-point difference for me.
Yeah, Russell Wilson's a great play here. I think he's going to get a lot of things done with his legs this week. He finally probably comes forward as a fantasy QB. I got him in the top 10 for the first time in a while. I think he's going to run all over the Cardinals here. With that said, Chris Carson's a good play. On the Cardinals side of the ball, I think Larry Fitzgerald finally has more than 5 points. He's been terrible to start the year. Hopefully Rosen can start trying to get him the ball, because I'm starting to lose hope in Larry Fitz.
And Earl Thomas returning this week, I think, Joe, for this will give a little boost to that Seahawks secondary.
Mm-hmm.
So the more I talk about it, the more I like Seattle. I'll take the Seahawks, Joe.
Same. Agreed. Moving to our next matchup here, the Saints going down to play the Giants in New York. This is going to be a fun one, John. The Saints are 3-point favorites. I'm taking the Saints on the road, but the Giants' offense finally got clicking last week, too.
Yeah, they did. Of course, Saquon Barkley has had 100 yards of offense in each of his first three games. New Orleans is the worst team against the pass. So you're looking for Odell Beckham and Sterling Shepard and Saquon Barkley and Eli Manning to be fairly good starts all around. Odell Beckham, of course, you're starting him.
For sure.
And then this could be, you know, a high-scoring game. I think it will be one of the higher-scoring games of the week. I'm going to take New Orleans with all of its weapons to beat the Giants, though. There's just too much for Giants to keep up with, I think, Joe. What do you think?
I think so, too, but this is my fantasy game of the week. I would agree with you 100%. I think I have these running backs ranked 1 and 2 this week. I have Alvin Kamara at number 1 and Saquon Barkley at number 2. I think both these guys are going to go absolutely off. And you're going to start receivers from both sides of the ball. You're starting Odell. You're going to start Sterling Shepard. Evan Ingram is out, so keep that in mind. He's dealing with an injury that's keeping him on the sideline for 2 to 3 weeks. So Sterling Shepard is going to get more targets. Saquon Barkley is going to get more targets. And that means Odell obviously going to get more targets. And then on the Saints side of the ball, Michael Thomas, great play this week. He's my number one wide receiver, followed by Odell at number two. And then, you know, these Saints, they just have so many powerful options there. I mean, even Ted Ginn floating around out there. I mean, Benjamin Watson finally had some good catches last week. I think he had 6 catches or so. So there's just offense to go around. Both these quarterbacks are great plays. You're starting Drew Brees. Eli Manning is my sleeper start of the week. I think he's really going to go off, and especially in daily fantasy, he's one of those guys that's going to go cheap and put up a lot of points.
Yeah, New Orleans might pick to score the most points this week out of all the teams. So you're firing up all your guys, and maybe this week you're going to see guys like Cam Meredith make an impact. And Mark Ingram should be returning soon, right, Joe?
Yeah, I believe this is the last game he's out. He should be back next week.
Right, so look for New Orleans to get even stronger on offense. It's their defense that needs to pick it up. And last year they were a bit of a second-half defense, so New Orleans putting it all together before the end of the season will be a dangerous team in the latter half of the season.
Yeah, they're super dangerous on offense, and definitely looking forward to watch that game. It's fantasy fireworks all around. And that takes us into our last afternoon game. The 49ers going to play the Chargers in L.A. Chargers 11.5-point favorites here, John, at home. I'm still taking the Chargers. I know it's a lot of points, but the 49ers lost Jimmy G. They have C.J. Beathard taking over at quarterback, and they're kind of in a flux right now. So I'm going to roll with the Chargers here.
Yeah, I am too. 49ers not very good against the pass. Passing game is one of Chargers' strong points. You know, they have good weapons out of the backfield that can catch the ball, but Gordon and Eckler, then their wide receivers, they go 3 or 4 deep. Maybe Antonio Gates catches a touchdown this week, too. I know he's a little banged up, and they've been going with Virgil Green. But Mike Williams, like Spaceball said.
Yeah.
He's got 2 or 3 touchdowns already, Joe, on the season.
He's got three
touchdowns for 3 weeks. You know, the guy's looking like a touchdown machine. So, I would fire him up, just like Jeff said. So
for sure.
I'm gonna roll with the Chargers again on this one. I think they're just gonna they were slow start last year, Joe. You know how high I was on the Chargers last year. I think they have a good chance to. Challenge Kansas City down the stretch for that division title, but we'll see. Kansas City has just been so strong, Joe, offensively. They had a great matchup the first week, Chargers and Chiefs. You know, a lot of fireworks. So it's really that division has been really exciting, Joe. So, but
it has.
Yeah, I'm gonna roll with the Chargers and look for C.J. Beathard to. Make a few mistakes and give it to the Chargers, and Chargers be able to cover that 9.
I would agree, and that Chargers defense is way better than that Chiefs defense, and it looks like Joey Bosa's trending towards coming back. I'm not sure if he's going to be back this week, but he should be back at least hopefully next week. But either way, this Chargers team is really good. Phillip Rivers is a top start this week. I think I have him ranked at number 5 at quarterback, so if you have Phillip Rivers, you got to fire him up. He's going to be absolutely incredible this week. On the 49ers side of the ball, and it's tough sledding. I have George Kittle riding the bench because you don't know what to expect out of the tight end, especially when you have the backup quarterback coming in. I mean, Marquise Goodwin and Pierre Garçon are really the only two guys touching. Matt Breida, is also a guy that you can consider firing up, but... I dropped his stock a bit because I don't know what they're going to do with the new quarterback. And Breida's actually banged up, too. He's questionable here. So If Breida's out, I like them even less.
Right. Now, Alfred Morris, also questionable. So, yeah, this 49ers team is got some issues right now. Important note is that C.J. Beathard is the quarterback who targets running backs out of the backfield the most of any quarterback the past few years, I think. So, I mean, if Matt Breida would be a good start if he's playing, you know, for in a PPR. So, but yeah, again, you know, you're desperate if you're starting those guys. But yeah, the Chargers guys are the guys you want to fire up.
For sure, and Breida's still leading the league in rushing. But again, if he doesn't play here, then you're not touching any running backs in this game. But you and I both taking the Chargers 11.5 points, John.
Is it 11.5? I thought it was 9, but yeah, I'll still take the Chargers.
Yeah, it's 11.5, so I'm still taking the Chargers too. You're firing up all your Chargers, man. It's going to be a good game on Sunday. And that takes us into Sunday night, John. It's a good one. Ravens going down to Pittsburgh to play the Steelers. Steelers 3-point favorites, John, at home. This Ravens team has looked better as of late, and the Steelers finally got things going this week against Tampa Bay.
Yeah, this is going to be an exciting game. I really can't wait to watch it. I think it'll be higher. You know, Ravens have a good defense, of course, as usual. The Ravens, I think, are able to hang, too, offensively now. They've got some good wide receivers. Flacco has been, you know, finding those the three deep wide receiver set there with Snead and Brown and Crabtree. And then hopefully Alex Collins, you know, and Buck Allen could put together their ground game. You know, they have the 1-2 punch of those two guys. And then Mark Andrews has been really good as a tight end that you want to look at. I know you were high on him before the league.
Yeah.
He's starting to emerge. And Pittsburgh has been weak against the tight end, so this would be a good week to pick him up and start him if you're looking for a tight end, or your tight end, maybe you had Jordan Reed, and he's on a bye.
And
you had Greg Olsen, he's on a bye. So you are firing up. You could do a lot worse than Mark Andrews.
For Joe. Sure, and the first-round pick, Hayden Hurst, had foot surgery at the beginning of the season. He practiced this week. He's back. I'm not sure if he's going to play in this game, but he's definitely a guy you got to keep your eye on as he returns to play with the Ravens.
Right, of course, I saw a tight end emerge on the Pittsburgh side, Vance McDonald, last week.
Stiff-arming.
And former Bear Chris Conte right onto the IR.
Yeah, that's about as man versus child as you could ever see.
Yeah, no, he was a guy I liked. You know, I wanted to pick him up, draft him. He was injured, you know, but that's been the whole knock on him his whole career. Vance McDonald has been injured. He's got a lot of talent. He's fast. And that's what Pittsburgh needed, was a good tight end, you know, playmaking tight end, you know, to go along with Antonio Brown and Juju Smith-Schuster and guys like James Washington and Ryan Switzer now, who caught a touchdown last week, guy I talked about before the season. Roethlisberger has been one of the best quarterbacks too, Joe.
He's been unbelievable.
He might be the top scoring quarterback this year so far. I'm not sure, but he's been very solid through three games.
Yeah, I mean, between him, Mahomes, and Fitzpatrick, those three guys have been unbelievable.
Right. The more you think about it, you know, Pittsburgh really, even though they're 1-1-1, I think, right? They're fine without Le'Veon Bell, Joe. Hence Le'Veon Bell on the trading block.
Yeah, no surprise there. But you're firing up all your Steelers. But the Ravens side of the ball gets interesting. Alex Collins here is an intriguing start against the Steelers because their defense has been less than ideal to start the season. I think they're going to get Alex Collins more involved, probably Buck Allen as well, catching passes out of the backfield. And then is this the week Michael Crabtree finally puts together a real good game?
You know, he's got this. Like I said, this has the potential to be a really high game, or high scoring game. So, yeah, I think he does, Joe. I think Crabtree's a good play, John Brown's a good play, and Willie Snead is a good play. So, like I said, I think this will be a good fantasy matchup to get your offensive playmakers in the game.
For sure, and Joe Flacco is especially sneaky in daily fantasy. I know he's not a very intriguing name and people kind of get drawn away from him, but in daily fantasy, I think last time I checked, he was below $5,000 from your payroll, and that's unbelievable for a quarterback that has the potential to put up, you know, 20, 30 points. So Joe Flacco, definitely worth taking a look at on FanDuel or DraftKings.
Great point, because, yeah, he puts up a day like you're talking, and you can splurge on guys like Alvin Kamara and, you know, Antonio Brown, you know, Michael Thomas, you know, you could fire up those guys if you get a, you know, a good break on the quarterback. So, yeah, great points about the Flacco and Bailey.
But are you taking the Steelers at home as three-point favorites?
Yeah, I'm going to take the Steelers at home.
It's going to be a great Sunday night game. I can't wait to watch that one. But I don't know if any games I'm more excited about, John, than the one on Monday night. The Chiefs going down to Denver to play the Broncos. Patrick Mahomes and the boys have been tearing things up. But this is their toughest test so far to start the season. That Broncos defense has been really good against the run. And they've been pretty good against the pass, too. So I'm looking at this one. The Chiefs going in as 5-point favorites on the road. You and I talked about this. It's a bit of a trap game, isn't it, John?
It feels like a trap game. I'm going to have to listen to Uncle Mike, you know, on Friday. But, you know, NFL record 13 touchdown passes through the first three games of the season for Patrick Mahomes. He's been really good, Joe. Of course, he is still, you know, almost a rookie. You know, he's a second-year player, but he didn't play much his rookie season. Going up into Denver could be a problem for him if that defense raises its game. But right now, you know, the Denver Broncos defense hasn't been what it was in the past. Just there's enough to exploit there for a good offense like Kansas City. But, you know, no defense on the Kansas City side. So, you know, if Case Keenum and the guys on that side of the ball for Denver put it all together, this could be, you know, a game where you're seeing 50, 60 points scored, Joe, and I think this will be a high-scoring game.
I think so, too. I think you got to fire up your Broncos receivers. I think Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas, both those guys have really good weeks here. So look for them to, you know, explode. And I think even, you know, Case Keenum in daily fantasy is going to go cheap. Not a very intriguing option, but you can kind of spend a little bit of money on him and maybe, you know, he'll have a great day and you can splurge, like you said, on some of those other big names. But with that said, I'm still taking the Chiefs -5 on the road. The Broncos just aren't what they used to be.
Yeah, I'm leaning Chiefs. I'm gonna wait though until to make my pick. But right now, I'll go Chiefs. Like I said, I need to, you know, get the feel of this game as it feels like a trap game. So, you know, we'll see. If Kansas City certainly has a ton of weapons to avoid the trap, but you know, it's a divisional game. These two teams don't like each other. They play each other really tough. So this is gonna be a great game to watch. I'm glad we had a pretty good game last week. This game should be even better.
Yeah, I think so. And you're firing up all your Chiefs. You don't need us to tell you that. But Travis Kelce, to me, is the number one tight end on the board this week. Denver's not that good against the tight end. So I think Travis Kelce puts up close to 30 points on Monday night.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, too, because Kansas City is actually the worst team against the tight end. So Jake Butt. Joe, maybe this is a Jake Butt game.
Well, I don't have him ranked this week, but you know, this could be very well one of those emergent kind of games. So just keep an eye on that game Monday night. I think there's going to be plenty of fireworks.
Yeah, I mean, to me, Jake Butt kind of seems like he's, you know, the George Kittle of this year. So we'll see. It's a good chance for him to emerge, much like Mark Andrews and George Kittle have.
Yeah, a lot of storylines to watch in football this week, and it's only week 4, so we're chugging along. We're having a great time so far this season. We are blessed to be able to have Jeff Schwartz on the show tonight. Spaceball, thank you again for coming on. That was absolutely incredible. Tooch and I look forward to having you on again sometime soon. Tooch, thanks as always for joining me, partner. It's always a blast when we're talking fantasy football.
Right, and same here, Joe. And I just want to shout out Bears Girl for being on top of our Pick'em League so far. If we're allowed to give shout-outs, I'm going to shout-out.
Yeah, go for it, man.
She's kicking our butts.
Yeah, I'm not even going to talk about my record in the Pick'em. It's bad.
Right, I'm right in the middle of the pack. I need to turn it on this week to get back to respectability, Joe. Last week was brutal for me.
Yeah, it's been tough sledding, but Uncle Mike's doing pretty well, so that's all that really matters.
Yep, I'm going to consult the Oracle before I make my picks this week.
Yeah, before I go to Vegas in November, I'll make sure I listen to Uncle Mike.
Right on, Joe.
But again, thanks everybody for tuning in to the Fantasy Football Goon Podcast. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at FFBGoon. We answer all questions all year long. And then make sure you check out everything at Bears Barroom. I've got articles on there. The Tooch has got articles on there. Plenty of great content to go around. Check out all the other shows on the network. Just a great time to be a part of the Bears Barroom. And big shout out to the barkeeper, Mr. Aldo Gandia. Aldo, you are the man. Thank you for letting us do what we do every week. Tooch and I really appreciate it.
Yeah, for sure. Be sure to catch us on Sunday mornings about 10:30 on Barfly Tailgate. Great show. If you're not listening, you need to tune in. Those guys are doing a hell of a job.
Yeah, and we'll answer all your questions in the chat room for that and keep you up to date on all the injury news. And, you know, it's a great show. We have a great time with those guys and look forward to every Sunday morning. So for all you guys tuning in, thanks again. God bless America. God bless football. And let's kick some ass.
Our leader's saying goodnight. I hate to go and leave this pretty sight. So long, farewell. Our leader's saying adieu.
Adieu, adieu to you and you and you.